Mishnah. We're holding on Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph by the Mishnah. Mishnah says, Shur Shuhu Mu'ad Laminoi, a shur that is Mu'ad, where it's already gored a number of times, it's already gored three times and been wounded or whatever, for its min. So, for example, that it's only attacked other oxen. V'enim Mu'ad L'she'enim Minoi, but it's not Mu'ad for other types of animals, meaning, in other words, that it's seen other animals. And Rabbi Hanan adds that also it's seen them the entire day and it didn't gore them. So we're going to say that it's moored only for certain types of animals. Similarly, moored l'odom v'ainim moored l'behemah. You can have an animal that's moored to attack animals, but to attack people, but not moored to attack animals. So it sees people, and it now we're talking about. Now you could be talking about that only injured people. If it killed people, it's going to be chayiv misa anyway. But you could also have also. I mean, you were there later on in the pedek, we're going to talk about how an animal becomes moored for people in the first place. On the face of it, the first time already, it would have had to be given skila. So how do you ever have that it reaches the fourth time? That it reaches the third time anyway. So earlier in the Masechta, actually, Rashi mentions a point in that regard. You could have, for example, we're gonna learn later on in the Perek. You could have, for example, that they only brought it to Beis Din after the third time, and we're gonna learn later on in the Perek a number of different scenarios where it's possible. So you could have where it's moored for people, but not moored for animals. So either we could mean that it's only injured people so far, or we could mean it has actually killed people, but for one reason or another, it hasn't actually become a shur moored. Anyway, moored l'ktanim v'ainim moored l'gdolim, or you can have an ox which is moored only to attack small animals, but not moored to attack large ones. So in all those cases, eschu moored l'mishalim nezek shalim, whichever one he's moored for, he's going to pay nezek shalim. V'eschu ainim moored l'mishalim chatzi nezek, whichever one it's not moored for, it's going to pay chatzi nezek. Omru lifnei Rabbi Yehuda. So they asked Rabbi Yehuda, how about you can have a scenario, harezem mord l'shabosis ve'inem mord l'chol. Suppose you have a case of an animal which is only moored to gore on Shabbos and not on weekdays. Now, why would there be? What would make an animal realize the difference between Shabbos and weekdays? Rashi says, because on Shabbos it's not working, so therefore it feels like more full of itself. Tosfos gives a den, and I suppose you have. I mean, after all, you have the story with the famous cow of Rabbi Yechon ben Tursa that had somehow in its animal brain it realized it's Shabbos and it's not expected to work and therefore it wouldn't work. And you have the whole story over there where the goy eventually realizes if an animal can keep Shabbos, how much more so me. But here Rashi says, in other words, because it's not working, then therefore it's feeling more full of itself. Tosfos brings a different reason from Yerushalmi. The reason is because he sees people walking around in different clothing. So therefore, he like they're strangers to him. He doesn't recognize them compared to the rest of the week. There are some interesting nafkaminas in that between which of those reasons would apply. For example, what about Yom Tov, for example? Yom Tov people are also wearing nice clothes. But on the other hand, Yom Tov, the ox itself is not doing work. But on the other hand, so the ox itself is not doing work on Yom Tov. On the other hand, on Yom Tov, since people are doing Melechus Eichel Nefesh, then their clothes are not necessarily as clean as on weekdays, the Meiri points out. So that would be a nafkamina between them. So they asked Rabbi Yehuda, in that case, what would be the din? Omer lahem, and he says, yeah, the Shabbos is Meshalem Nezek Shalem, Li Mosachol Meshalem Chetzi Nezek. Exactly that. If he gores on Shabbos, if this animal gores on Shabbos, and it's already moored to do that on different Shabbos, then it's going to be paying Nezek Shalem. Li Mosachol Meshalem Chetzi Nezek. And if he does it on weekdays, then it's only going to be paying Chetzi Nezek until it becomes a moored for that. So, when does it go back to being tam on Shabbos? Mishiyachseba gimu yimei Shabbosis, when it goes back, when it stops acting this way on three Shabbosim, so three Shabbosim in a row, there are oxen or other animals in front of it, and it doesn't gore, then it goes back to being tam. Tosfos points out that you should now what about for now what about for example given Rashi's reason that the reason why the animal might behave differently on Shabbos than on weekdays is because not working on Shabbos. So what would happen if you have a particular weekday when it's not working for whatever reason, the owner doesn't happen to have any work for it to do that day, and it doesn't gore that day? Would we say that that counts towards the three times? No, that's why Rabbi Yehuda is stressing over here, Gimel Yemei Shabbosis, only when it behaves differently on three Shabbosim, then it will go back to being tam. But not if it was just 3 days that it didn't work. Tosfos also points out another reason you might have thought, since to begin with it's only moored for some days, maybe therefore you would think that you don't need three times retraction, you don't need three times acting differently in order for it to not be moored, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda is telling us that nevertheless you do that. There's a different explanation also. Rabbeinu Yohanneson says that the vort is that when he's moored for all the time, then it has to be 3 days in succession that he's not goring. Now, when he's moored only for Shabbosim, then there has to be three Shabbosim in succession. You shouldn't think that can be that you need three days in succession or something. You just need three Shabbosim in succession. Okay. Now, the first line of the Mishnah had said, "Shur shehu moored l'minoy ve'enei moored l'she'enei minoy." So we said a shur that's moored for its min and is not moored for its other min. Now, is that actually the wording of the Mishnah? So therefore, that whole first line is describing what the nature of the animal is, or is the Mishnah telling us a din? Is maybe the word supposed to be not ve'enoi, but rather enoi, and therefore the Mishnah would be telling us a din, shur shur moored l'minoi, a shur that is moored to gore its own kind, enoi moored l'she'enei minoi, it's not necessarily because of that moored for a different kind. So if you have an animal that has regularly gored oxen three times, according to that second way of looking at it, if we have the word enoi rather than ve'enoi, it would mean that just because it's gored oxen multiple times doesn't mean that it's also moored to gore people or donkeys or any other kind of animals like that. So Itmar, so we have a discussion about that. Rav Zvid Amar ve'enei moored tnan, Rav Papa Amar enei moored tnan. Rav Zvid says the word is supposed to be ve'enei moored, like we have it in the Mishnah. So therefore, the Mishnah is saying that you have a scenario where you know that this animal is moored for one and not for the other, meaning, in other words, that the case is that you see that many different animals have passed by in front of it at different times, and the only ones it gored were the oxen. So therefore, in that case, we're saying that now, if in the future it goes and gores a donkey or a camel or what have you, then you would say that it's paying only chatzi nezek. But in other words, the point is, ve'enei moored would mean, according to Reb Zvid, ordinarily, we would assume if it's moored, then it's moored for all animals. Only when we see that other animals have gone in front of it and it hasn't attacked them, then we would say eventually, after enough times of that, we'd say that it's moored only the she'enei minoy. Rav Papa Amar enei moored tnan. Rav Papa says, no, the wording in the Mishnah is enei moored, meaning just because it's moored for one is not automatically moored for the other. Tosfos points out, by the way, we're going to have later on in our perek that you have something where Reb Zvid says when an animal is moored for when an ox is moored for animals, then usually it's automatically we say it's not automatically moored for a person, and therefore you could have, if now it kills a person, then it would still have the din of tam, and therefore it's moored as far as paying nezek shalim, but nevertheless it's still only it's not yet moored for a person. Tosfos says Reb Zvid may have changed his mind, actually. So our Gemara over here would differ with the version of what Reb Zvid says that we're going to learn later on Daf Mem Aleph. That actually where they are, what it is he says we would consider the animal to be a moored because of that. The Gemara is dealing, again, with the question over there, how does an animal ever become a moored for people if the first time already or the second time you would have had to give it skilla? And one of the answers is Reb Zvid says that it killed animals and now it automatically becomes a moored for a person. So that would imply that Reb Zvid is saying once it's moored for one, it's automatically moored for the other. So Tosfos says that sort of Zvid may have changed his mind compared to what he says here. So Rav Zvid Amar ve'enei moored tnan, meaning hostama have a moored. So ordinarily, by default, we would assume once the animal is moored for one particular kind of animal, by default, we assume it's moored for the other ones, unless it sees the other kinds of animals and attack doesn't gore them. Rapapa Amma, Enemord, Tananda Stummel. They have a Mord. Rapapa says the word is Enemord, meaning that by default, we don't assume that it's Mord for other kind of animals. Where are they each getting their understandings from? Rav Zvid, Dayak Mi Sefer, Rapapa, Dayak Mi Resha. Rav Zvid is Medayak from the continuation of the Mishnah. Rapapa has been Medayak from the beginning of the Mishnah. And we're going to deal with soon how each one of them would understand each other's part. Rav Zvid Dayak Mi Sefer. So Rav Zvid is being Medayak from the Sefer. He says like this, to Katoni, the Mishnah had said, Mord L'Katanim Ve'ene Mord L'Gdolim. The Mishnah had said that you have a case where it's Mord for small animals and not Mord for big ones. So if you say and you understand well that it means ve'ene mord, and the Mishnah is saying just because and the Mishnah is saying that we're describing a case where we saw that it gored only small animals and it did not gore large animals, then meaning a horse stomach have a mord, and you're saying that otherwise by default you would say that it's mord for both big ones and small ones, you would have to say the chiddush of that part of the Mishnah. The chiddush of that part of the Mishnah, that even though we're not just talking about different kinds of animals, here we're talking about within the same kind and only gored small ones, and it didn't gore the big ones, but we would say by default, nevertheless, we would assume it's moored for all of them unless we have reason to know that it doesn't attack the big ones because it actually sees them. But in other words, if it so happened that it was only around small animals and it gored them, then we would assume by default the Mishnah is telling us that it is moored for the large animals until you find out otherwise. So then you would say that's the chiddush of that part of the Mishnah. Eli, Amit ain't a moored katoni, but if you say like Rapapa learns that it means ain't a moored, meaning stomach like having moored, by default, even when it never saw any large animals that it could possibly have attacked, you're saying because so far all the ones that it attacked were small animals, therefore you're saying it's not moored. The question is, what's the chiddush? Hashi yashlemim l'ktanim l'ktanim da'alma stomach like having moored. After all, in the Reisha, where it talks about Minoy and Enoy Minoy, where we can assume that that they were all small ones, and we're already saying Eni Mord, do we need to tell us that even when it's going from small ones to big ones within the same min, it's not a Mord for all of them? There'd be no Chiddush in it. Therefore, says Reb Zvid, you can see from that part of the Mishnah that there it definitely has to say Ve'Eni Mord. And therefore, in the Reisha as well, it would mean ve'ene mord. So the Mishnah is telling us where you have a factual reason to know that this animal is mord for only one type and not the other. Namely, it's seen both types, and it davka attacked one type and not the other. Whether the one type versus the other means different kinds of and different species of animals, or whether the one type versus another means different sizes of animals. So therefore, Reb Zvid says that you can see from that later part of the Mishnah that's how it has to be. So what does Rapapa answer? How does he deflect that? He says, Itzrich. No, because you need to say in the Mishnah, you're arguing, Rav Zvid, that without that, if it said Enei Mord in the Sefer of the Mishnah, there'd be no Chiddush in it. There is, in fact, a Chiddush. Sakudat Chamina, you would think to say, Hoyla Poretz Bei Ba'ahu Mina, Poretz Bei, once already it started being Poretz, once it started breaking into attacking this particular species of animal, so already we have it is attacking oxen, just it's only attacking small ones, you would think, you would say maybe it doesn't matter small or big. In other words, you would say in the ratio you're talking about, it's only ever been attacking oxen, for example. It never attacked a donkey yet. So therefore you would say, fine, it's not bothered by the presence of donkeys and therefore it's not a mord for them. But now you have, let's say, it attacked a small donkey. So you would say, oh, well, then in that case, it obviously has something against the species of donkeys. So maybe in that case, in the future, it's going to be moored whether they're big or small. And it just so happens right now that it's only seen small ones. And therefore, those are the ones that are attacked. Kamash Malan, do I have it moored? And therefore, no, the Mishnah would have to tell us, even in that case, it's telling us it's not moored for the Golem yet. Unless it actually starts attacking them as well. So therefore, the Papa says, yes, there is in fact a chiddush in that part of the Mishnah, such that we can say the Mishnah is saying, ain't a mord, and saying there's a chiddush in it that even though it's mord l'ktanim, nevertheless, by default, it's not mord l'gdolim, and therefore there is a chiddush in it, and therefore you can say that is what the Mishnah is saying, and you don't have to say it's saying, ve'ain a mord. Okay. Rapapa Dayak Meresha. Now we said Rapapa is learning his svara from looking at the Reisha, we said earlier in the Mishnah that if an animal is moored to attack people, then it's not moored to attack animals. Now, so you would have to say, so you'd have to ask, if you're saying that the Mishnah is saying that when it's not, when it's moored for animals, it's not necessarily automatically moored for people, then stomale having moored, meaning that by default it's not it doesn't become moored lebehema, then we have to say, then we can understand the chiddush in that. Even if it first attacked people, and people, as we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, Odom Islay Mazla. We learned that on Beis Amud Beis, that a person has mazel, which we said it means that he has a shurdash on a shamal amayla, and he has the greater intelligence to be able to avoid getting hurt and so forth. And here we're saying the animal has been attacking people and injuring them. So you would think all the more so it should be moored for animals where an animal doesn't have that kind of mazel. And nevertheless, the chiddush is that still, it's even though it's easier to attack and kill an animal, nevertheless, he's not moored for animals. But if the Mishnah is just telling us that you should, that it means you have a case where it is moored to attack people and not, it's seen animals and it never attacked them, implying hostama, having moored, and you're saying that mistam, that you would say by default it would be moored for animals. The question really, what's the chiddush? Hashti yeshloimim behema lebehema stama having moored. If from one animal to another, by default, once it will, you would assume according to Rav Zvid, who says that the word is einay moored, that you're saying, or Rav Zvid is saying ve'einay moored rather, then it means that by default, when it's moored for one kind of animal, automatically we assume it's moored for another, unless we see that it's not behaving that way. So then, if you would say from even one kind of animal, it's moored, me'odim lebehemet tzricha lemeimer to have a moored, would you need to say if it's first injuring or killing people, and then it goes on to animals, what's the chiddush that it's moored? Of course, as we said, odim islay mazla, it's harder to attack and for an animal to attack and kill a person than it is a behema. So therefore, obviously, it would be considered moored lebehema. So then there would be no chiddush in it. Whereas if you say the word is einay moored, then it's saying that you're saying that no. Nevertheless, the fact remains that if it's moored for one species, it's not automatically moored for the other. Whether we're talking about animals, or even the greater chiddush, even we're talking about where it's attacked people, and nevertheless we're saying it's not automatically moored for animals. So therefore, Sir Papa says, you have to say ein emur in order that both parts of the Mishnah are telling, in order that that part of the Mishnah is telling us a chiddush. V'Rav Zvid Amalach, what would Rav Zvid answer to that? He would say, Reisha Achazora Poi, because the Reisha is not talking about when the shur becomes a moored. The Reisha, when it distinguishes between Odom and Behema, what it means is as far as Chazora, as far as when the animal is starting to behave differently. Where we said that once it behaves differently three times, once it stops goring, then it goes back to being a tam. So Rav Zvid says that part of the Mishnah is referring to that. Or going to have a moored la odom u moored la behema, meaning the Mishnah is telling us a scenario where the animal was moored for animals to gore people and moored to gore animals. The hoder behemi behema. Now it stopped doing that to animals, so now it became a tam relative to animals. Dekoy, and the way that happened, dekoy gabi behema tlosa zimni. It was standing there around other animals three times, and as Rabbi Hanano said, we're not just talking about for a moment over there. We're talking about even all day long. The loin nogach, and it never gored. So therefore, the chiddush is ma'udatema kivin delay hoda be me'odam, since it didn't start behaving differently as far as people, meaning that we don't know for sure, actually, the Yamshel Shloima, the Maharshal says, we have to be talking about where in between, it's now no longer attacking animals, but during that same period, it was still attacking people. So therefore, obviously, we have reason to say that it changed, that now it's acting differently as far as animals, but it's still doing the same thing as far as people. So therefore, you would think, since it's not behaving any differently with people, it's still attacking people. You could think that maybe the fact that it's changing its mind and behaving differently with animals is not considered a chazara. Kamash malanda chazara de behema mia chazarihi. Therefore, the Mishnah would have to be telling us that no, once it stopped behaving this way with animals, then it does go back to being a tam as far as animals. So the Mishnah would in fact be saying ve'enemur, like Reb Zvid says. So we're saying you can have a case, mord la adam ve'ein mord la behema. You have an example of an animal which is mord to gore people, but we know for a fact that it's not mord to gore animals. Namely, at one point it was goring both of them, but now it stopped goring animals. It's still continuing to gore people. And yes, we would say in that case, we would say that it's mord for animals and not and it's mord for people and not for animals. So therefore, the Zvid says there is a chiddush in that part of the Mishnah. You're right. If we were talking about, to begin with, the animal becoming mord, then you're right. There wouldn't be such a chiddush that if it becomes a mord for people, it's also mord for animals. But here we're saying that we're talking about when it starts behaving differently. Again, Tosfos says that it's possible that maybe later on in the Perek of Zvid changes his mind about that and says that actually not necessarily is a mord. Do you have a case where an animal is mord is by default, if it's mord la behema, it's automatically mord la adam, or if it's mord la adam, it's automatically mord la behema? Maybe not necessarily. Okay. So the bottom line is we have both Reb Zvid and Reb Papa have their ways of explaining the Mishnah in accordance with their respective shittos. So the Gemara says, "Meisvi, I have a contradiction on Reb Zvid." The Braisa says, "Sumcho soimer mord la adam mord la behema. If an animal is mord for people to gore people, it's automatically mord to gore animals as well." And Sumcho says, "Mikal v'choimer." Madach for a person, it can become mord because a person, we've said before, islay mazla, he has mazel, however you define it, and therefore it's harder to injure or kill him. La behema like kol shekhen, how much more so that behema is like that. Now, Sumchus is saying that mekal de tanakama ain't mord kamer. So Sumchus is saying, like Reb Zvid, that if it's mord for people, it's automatically mord for animals. But implying the Tanakama would disagree with that. Well, therefore, the Tanakama has to be saying ain't a mord, like Rav Papa. He's saying that no, just because this is mord for people, it's not automatically mord for behema. We don't necessarily use Simchus as Kavachim. And the Gemara answers, Amalei Reb Zvid. So Reb Zvid answers, like we said before, Sumchos HaChazorah Koi. Just like we said that in our Mishnah, the Mord La'adam and Mord La'behema is talking about as far as the Chazorah, not as far as the animal first becoming a Mord, but as far as it changing its behavior. The same way Sumchos is also referring to that. V'achakam Alei L'Tanakama. So he's saying to the Tanakama, D'ka'amrit Chazorah De'behema Chazorahi. You're saying that changing its behavior as far as animals is considered a good enough chazara that therefore now it's not moored for animals anymore. No, says Sumchus, chazara de behema lav chazara hi mekav v'choymer me'adam. The fact that it's changing its behavior as far as animals is not considered a chazara at all, and a mekav v'choymer from a person, umam me'adam like a mahadu be'be mehebe like koshkin, if it's not changing its behavior as far as people, and like the Maharshal said, it actually is still goring people, then we shouldn't assume that it's chazara by the animals counts for anything either, and therefore we should say that it still is mord for animals. So Sumchus therefore is talking about chazara. So both he and the Tanakama are talking about chazara, and therefore yes, there we have to use the word ve'ein. There we're using the word ene mord, but that doesn't mean necessarily that in the Mishnah or when we talk about in the Mishnah mord la adam mord la behema, we're talking about as far as chazara. And Sumchus in the Braisa is referring to that as well, and that would still fit with Reb Zvid's opinion. So the Gemara says Amar Rabashi Toshma. We can prove Rav Zvid's version from the end of the Mishnah. Amru lifnei Rabbi Yehuda. We said they asked Rabbi Yehuda, "Hareza mord l'shabbosis ve'ena mord l'maisachol." Suppose you have an animal that's moored to gore only on Shabbos and not on weekdays. So what happens? Amru lahem l'shabbosis m'shalav nezek sholim l'maisachol m'shalav chatzin nezek. So he says on Shabbos you would pay nezek sholim, on weekdays you'd pay chatzin nezek. So if you say, like Reb Zvid, that earlier in the Mishnah it's being saying ve'enei mord, meaning that when do we say an animal is mord for one and not for the other? When we know for a fact, when we have actual evidence that it's prone to attacking one and not the other, namely it's seen different kinds of animals and only attacked one of them. So then in that case, then we understand. Well, in that case, then the Talmidim are asking Rabbi Yehuda, what would be the din as far as Shabbos and weekdays? And he's giving them an answer. Eli amat ene mur katoni. But if you say in the Sefer of the Mishnah, if they're saying hareza mur l'shabbos is ene mur l'choil, then that would mean they're saying a din that if an animal is mur for Shabbos, then it's not necessarily because of that mur l'choil. So if you say that agmuri huda kamagamri le, are they teaching Rabbi Huda the din? He's their rebbe. They're his talmidim. The two. And then how does it make sense what Rabbi Huda is answering them? So therefore, obviously that part of the Mishnah at least has to say ve'enemur, like Rabbi Zvid, and that would be a reason to say that in all the other parts of the Mishnah, it's also ve'enemur, like Rabbi Zvid says. Meaning, in other words, again, it would mean that by default, once an animal is moored to gore one type of animal, then automatically it's moored to gore all the other types. Only if we see as an actual thing that it's goring only one type and ignoring all the other types, then we would say that it's moored only for that type and no others. Rabbi Yannai says, as a matter of fact, you can also be medayik from the beginning of earlier in the Mishnah that Rabbi Zvid's version with ve'enei moored is correct. Meaning, in other words, again, that by default, if it's moored for one type of animal, then it's moored for all of them, and only if we actually see that it ignored some types, then we can say it's moored only for the other types. So Rabbi Yannai says, we can see from the Reisha, Dekatoni, because the Mishnah had said, after it listed these various possibilities, Minoy and Enim Minoy, Odom, Behema, etc., it said, Es Shemur Loim Shalom Nezek Sholem, whichever ones it's moored for, you're paying Nezek Sholem, the Es Shemur Moored Loim Shalom Chatzin Nezek, whichever ones it's not moored for, you're paying Chatzin Nezek. So E Amit Beshlema Enim Moored Ve Enim Moored Katoni. So if you say that the Mishnah is saying Ve Enim Moored, like Rabbi Zvid, and saying we're talking about a case where it is known to be moored for one and it's known to not be moored for the other because we know we've seen it actually pass by other animals before and not gore them, well, then we can understand. So the Mishnah, Porushi Kamafarishla. So now the Mishnah is clarifying and saying what the din is in all these various cases. We said already, we're saying that Mistam, it's moored. So therefore, now the Mishnah is finishing off and saying what the din would be. In all these cases where we see as an actual matter that it's moored for one, and we see as an actual matter that it's not moored for the other. So now the Tana is finishing up and telling us what is the din in each of these cases, Chatzin Nezek and Nezek Sholem, respectively. Eli Amit Ene Moored Katoni, but if you say the Mishnah is saying Ene Moored, like her papa says, then so why is the Mishnah saying something further over here? Posca, the Mishnah has already stated the fact. It's already said if it's moored for one, it's not moored for the other. My two, es shemored lem shalom nezek shalom, es sheini moored lem shalom chatzin nezek. What is the Mishnah adding with that phrase? Ad hashta loyadinan dehos loyashmeinan dehos meshalom chatzin ad hashta loyashmeinan that tom meshalom chatzin nezek or moored meshalom nezek shalom. Has the Mishnah not told us yet that a tam is paying chatzin nezek and a moor pays nezek sholem? The Mishnah already told us, according to the papa's version, that it is. The Mishnah had already said, when it's moored for one, it's not necessarily automatically moored for the other. It remains a tam for the other. So then, and we know already a tam pays chatzin nezek. So there'd be no reason for the Mishnah to add the line, es shemoored loy and es sheini moored loy. The im tim tzaloymar, isa nami isa l'da papa. However, the Gemara finishes off, if you're going to say that after all, that the halacha would be like Rapapa, nevertheless, you could say, Nogach shur v'chamur v'gomel, if the animal gored, one time it gored an ox, and another one a donkey, and a third time a camel, nasa moored lakol, then we would say, that it is moored for all kinds of animals, because we would assume, in other words, then it's not just, it's obviously not that it's just, then we can assume it's not just that it's that it's angered at these kinds of animals. Now we have reason to say that it is in fact that it is in fact angered at all kinds of animals, and therefore it's going to be moored for all of them. So that's that as far as that discussion. Now the question is between Rabbi Zvid and Rabbi Papa, who is the halacha like? The Gemara has just proven that the wording of our Mishnah fits better with Rabbi Zvid. And in fact, the fact is, we see in our Mishnah we have the word ve'enoi like Rabbi Zvid throughout. On the other hand, here the Gemara said im timtzaloymer. If you want to say the halacha is like Rabbi Papa, and we have a rule that when it says im timtzaloymer, then usually it means the opinion, the halacha is like that opinion. So here, Rabbeinu Chananel says, in fact, the halacha has to be like that. So the halacha has to be like Rapapa. In fact, further on, Rabbi Hanano points out, the Gemara is going to go on with further questions over here, which, according to Rabbi Hanano, the questions that the Gemara is going to ask further on at the bottom of this, the rest of this Omud, and on Omud Beis, are going to go better, according to the Papa. They're not really going to fit, according to the Bzvid. On the other hand, Tosfos says that, no, those questions can also work, according to the Bzvid, and so there are Rishonim who say the Halacha should, in fact, be like Rav Zvid. So the majority of poskim do paskin like Rapapa, that it doesn't automatically become the riff paskins according to Rapapa. And then there are most other Rishonim, there are some Rishonim who paskin according to Rav Zvid. One thing you have is within, now the Rambam mentions this din, this last din that we said, that if it gored an ox and a donkey and a camel, then it becomes muad lakol. The Rambam actually learns that it means it's only muad for those three minim, not for any others. The Rambam actually says the Rambam brings the halacha that it's moored for all of them. The Magid Mishnah there on the Rambam learns that the Rambam would say that it means that it's only moored for those three types of animals. Other Noisa Kalim on the Rambam learn that it is in fact moored for all the different kinds of animals. So now the Gemara says Tana Rabban. Suppose that this shur saw a shur and it gored it. Then the next one it saw, it did not gore. Then the next one it did. The next one it didn't. The next one it did. The next one it didn't. Nasa mord lasirugin. Then we say it becomes mord for every other time. Nasa mord lasirugin v'lashvarim. Then it becomes mord as far as alternate ones, as far as every other ox that it's going to see. Now, Tosfos points out, first of all, why does it need to mention the last one that it didn't gore? Once we have it gored the first, third, and fifth ones, that's already three. We don't need to mention that it didn't gore the sixth one. The point is that because it didn't gore the sixth one, therefore he's potter from paying anything for that. When the next one that he gores is, then he's already moored that he's going to gore every other one, and then he'd be paying Nezek Shalom. Also, Tosfos points out, according to Rav Zvid, you would have to be talking about that meanwhile, in between, it saw other animals and didn't attack them. So therefore, now it's clear, even according to Rav Zvid, we said that as long as it saw other animals and it didn't attack them, then we know it's only moored for one type of animal. So therefore, that's what we're talking about over here. It only gored oxen, but it only gored every other ox. So then it's chayev for every other one. Now Rashi over here uses the expression. He says he says that already the third time, further on, a little further in the sugya, he says that already the third time you chayev nezek sholim. On the other hand, Tosfos points out earlier in the Masechta that Rashi changed his mind on that. When we had before the discussion, we had in the second paragraph, we had the discussion of at what point does the animal become moored, after two times or after three times. So Tosfos points out over there that Rashi changed his mind and agreed that it takes three times for it to become moored, and therefore only the fourth time it gores is it actually going to be chayev. But that's the point. In other words, now it's only every other one. So therefore, so far it gored the first, third, and fifth. So therefore, the seventh, the ninth, etc., if it gores them, it'll be moored. But if it gores any of the even numbered ones, then it won't be moored, because so far it's only moored as far as Sirugin, only as far as every other one. Why that would be, I mean, you could say, you know, maybe in its animal brain, you know, it takes only when it sees one of them after another, then that makes it nervous, and therefore that makes it gore, who knows. Whatever, that's what's considered in halacha, whether we can find a logical basis for it in how the way animals work, but this is how the halacha is. Further on, actually, the Gemara is going to point out there's a comparison between these dinim and the halachas of Nidah. When it comes to the halachas of Nidah, also, it's not always easy to find why it is that certain patterns are considered a pattern in halacha and others aren't, but that's the way it is. So it is over here. The Gemara continues, Tana Rabbanan, then we learn in another Braisa, Roshur Nogach, if it saw an ox and it gored it, Chamur Loi Nogach, then it saw a donkey and it didn't gore it, Sus Nogach, then it saw a horse and gored it, Gomavol and Nogach, then it saw a camel and didn't gore it. Pered Nogach, it saw a mule and it attacked it and it gored it. Aroid, then it saw a wild donkey, Loy Nogach, and it didn't gore it. So then Nas Moor, the Sirugin Lakol, then it shows that it's moored the Sirugin. Now it's moored for every alternate one, but for all kinds of animals. Now it's not just limited to oxen, because now we see that there were, now we see that it's that, that it's attacking any kind of animals. So Tosfos discusses over here. I mean, if it didn't see any other animals, if it saw other animals in between, then of course it's not going to be moored, because it's only it has to be that it only saw these six. But then in that case, then according to Reb Zvid, shouldn't it be moored lakol? And Reb Zvid would say that the chiddush over here is, the fact is, how could it be moored for anything? That it didn't see, how could it be moored for anything? That there wasn't any one kind that attacked. Nevertheless, we're saying, maybe Sirugin doesn't count. Nevertheless, we're saying that it does, and now it's considered moored la Sirugin. Also, Tosfos says you could have, where there were other kinds around, let's say they were all together in one area, and it only gored three. So we're saying it's only attacking one animal at a time, but now we see that it is attacking all kinds of animals. So it is moored for all kinds of animals, but only the Sirugin, only every other. Okay. Ibar Lahu. So now the Gemara has a question. Nogach shur v'shur chamur v'gomel. What if it gored one ox, a second ox, a third ox, and then it gored a donkey and a camel? So the question is, Mahu, hai shur basra basra shvarim shadin, right? Do we say that this third time that it gored the ox goes together with the other two? And therefore, va'akati l'shvarim hu diyad, l'midi achrin alo yad. So therefore, it's only moored as far as oxen, but not yet as far as other minim, because it hasn't attacked the other minim three times yet. Or maybe the third time that it gored the shur goes together with the donkey and the camel, and therefore be yadle lakulumini, and therefore, as we just said, it gored three different kinds of animals, then it's going to be moored for all of them, or according to the Magad Mishnah's understanding of the Rama, maybe it's moored only for those three. But that would be the question: is it moored only for Shvarim so far, or is it moored for the other ones as well? Now, again, you have the Rif, and the Rif explains that this question is specifically according to the Papa, because according to the Zvid, there's no real question unless it specifically saw other animals and then didn't gore them. If it didn't see any other animals in between that it could have gored, then according to the Bzvid, it's going to be moored for all of them. Only if we know that it saw other ones and it didn't, then we're going to say that it's not moored for all. So therefore, the Rabbi Hananel and the Rif learn that the question over here is specifically according to the Papa. And that would imply, again, that the halacha is like the Papa. On the other hand, Tosfos says that maybe not. You could be talking about where it did see other animals in between and it didn't gore them. And then therefore, the questions could well work according to the Bzvid as well. Okay. Then the Gemara says, how about another case? Chamur v'gomel, shur, shur, v'shur, mahu. What about the other way around? It first gored a donkey, then a camel, then it gored three oxen in a row. So now you have the same question. And in fact, Tosfos says this is kind of an imtim tzolaymar. The Gemara doesn't explicitly say imtim tzolaymar, but it kind of comes out like that. That if we say that the third shur in the previous case goes with the first two, because it already has a habit of goring oxen, and therefore maybe the third one counts with that. But here we have more reason to say that. That maybe it should. On the one hand, it should go with the earlier ones. On the other hand, maybe now it's developing a new habit of only goring oxen. So it's kind of an imtim tzoloyma. So again, the question is: hi, shur. Do we say that the first shur goes together with the donkey and the camel that went before it? So therefore, now you have three different types that it's gored, and therefore, It's moored for all of them, or even for all animals in general. The yad le kulumini, so it becomes moored for all different species, or at least for these three species. Odoma bosa shvarim shadinan le, or maybe we count this the first show together with the other ones. Va'akati le shvarim hu diyad. Therefore, it's only moored as far as oxen leminachun lo yad, but maybe it's not yet moored as far as other species. Then the Gemara continues. Now you have a question, not only as far as different species, you also have the question as far as different days. Now we said before, we said they asked Rabbi Yehuda, what about if it's moored for Shabbos versus weekdays? And we said such a thing is possible because again, either it's not working on Shabbos and therefore it's more full of itself, or it sees people in Shabbos clothes and not working and therefore doesn't recognize them. So you have a similar question that can be asked as far as a difference in days. In fact, the Shita Mukubetzis points out, when you get down to it, the days of the week that we're going to be asking about are closer together. Shabbos is right before Sunday and right after Friday. It's further away from Shabbos. So maybe we have more reason to think that one Shabbos is less likely to go with a different Shabbos, that maybe wherever possible, we should assume that Shabbos goes with the days immediately before or immediately after it. So Shabbos for Shabbos, Echa for Shabbos for Sheni for Shabbos Mahu. What would happen if the animal gored on three Shabbosim in succession, and then after that on Sunday and on Monday? So you would say, Ha Shabbos Basraisa Basu Shabbos with the Shadin and Lay. Do we count the last Shabbos together with the two Shabbosim before it? So therefore, it's moored for Shabbos. Va'akati l'Shabbos hu diyad l'mosachol lo yad. So maybe therefore it's moored only for Shabbos, but not for weekdays. Maybe that last Shabbos counts together with the Sunday and the Monday that follow it, especially given the Shita Mukubetzis point that Shabbos, Sunday, and Monday are a lot closer together than Shabbos to Shabbos. So therefore, then it would come out, it's moored for all days. And you have the question the other way around. And again, like Tosfos says, this would also be an imtim tzolaymar that maybe you would have reason to say, if you were to argue in the first case, you would say that the Shabbos is more likely to go with the previous Shabbosim than maybe in a different case where the Shabbos comes after a sequence of other days, maybe it's more likely to go with those other days. So Chamishi v'Shabbos v'Erev Shabbos v'Shabbos 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 ma'u Shabbos Shabbos v'Shabbos ma'u. So what happens at Gord on Thursday, Friday, and then three Shabbosim in a row? Ha Shabbos kamaisa b'Sahei v'Shabbos v'Erev Shabbos shenin olay. Do we count the first Shabbos together with the Thursday and the Friday? V'Yayid l'kula yomi. So now it comes out it's Gord on three different days, so it's moored for all the days. Adoma ha Shabbos kamaisa b'Sahei Shabbosim suda shenin olay. Maybe the first Shabbos goes together with the other Shabbosim that start coming after it, or Shabbosim who diyayid, and therefore the animal is moored only for Shabbos. And the answer in all these cases, all these four cases, is teiku. So we leave it as a suffix. And being that it's teiku, then we would say, so chatzi nezek he's certainly entitled to. If he wants nezek sholim, only if he was toifus, only as we've learned before, if he grabs nechosim that belong to the mazik, then he can keep them in payment of it. And we've learned before, we learned at the end of the first perek where Tosfos says tfisa would only help only if he grabs the actual animal itself that caused the damage, not if he grabbed anything else, whereas many other Rishonim learn that any kind of asset that he has that belongs to the Mazik, he could use for that purpose. Okay. Now the Gemara says, here's another case. Suppose that the ox gored on the 15th of one month, then gored on the 16th of the next month, and the 17th of the next month, then that would be subject to plugta to Rabu Shmuel, that would be subject to a machloikas Rav and Shmuel in a case where it comes to Hilchas Nida, whether such a thing is already considered a pattern. The Itmar, we have a discussion about that. If a woman has a flow of blood one month on the 15th, the next month on the 16th, and the next one on the 17th, is that considered a vest? Is that considered a regular pattern? Therefore. So now the nafkamina of whether it's a regular pattern, Rashi points out it's negeya as far as you have a din that it talks about in Masechta Nida called daya shaita. Sometimes we say when we have to be careful when we're keeping the dinim of tumah v'tahara, then you have that when she has a regular vest, then we say daya shaita. When she sees the flow of blood, it's enough to assume she's tomei from when she actually saw it, even though there's always the possibility that maybe it started flowing earlier and it just got stuck on the way out. We don't say that. Since she has a regular vest, then we assume that it didn't start coming before that vest. And therefore, so now let's say, if we say that this pattern so far that she had 15th of Tishrei, the 16th of Cheshvan, and the 17th of Kislev, if we say that's already considered a pattern, then it means that when it comes the next month, when it comes the 18th of Tevis, if she sees a flow of blood on the 18th, she can assume that it only started on that day. She does not have to worry that maybe it started a day or two earlier. As opposed to if she had no vest, then we would have to be concerned about that. And you have machlokas at the beginning of Masech the Nida, how long before that does she have to be concerned about it? So that's one nafkamina between it. And another nafkamina that comes out the way we keep the halachas of Taras and Mishpacha nowadays is you'd have to consider when does she and her husband have to separate on the chances that she might become Nida again. So you have when she doesn't have a regular vest, then there's a couple of different ones, Onas HaChodesh and Onas Beninus and whatever. Whereas when she has a regular vest, then they'll need to separate on the expected day of that vest. Anyway, so Rav Oma Kovel of vest. So Rav says, yes, by that three times, she's established a vest. Now, when it comes to the following month, Tevis, then she can assume it's going to be on the 18th. And again, we can say Daya Shaita, and she and her husband have to separate only on that day. Shmuel says that no, the first one, after all, is not after an interval. You have to have the interval is three times. So therefore, it's only when she has, after she has the one on the 18th of Tevis, then we can assume that, yes, then now she has a pattern. And therefore, now the next month, the 19th of Shvat, now after the 18th of Tevis, now that she's had three times in succession from Tishrei to Cheshvan, from Cheshvan to Kislev, from Kislev to Tevis, now that makes a vest. And now, therefore, in the future, then she has a vest kavua. But she, of course, has to have that fourth one because the first one doesn't count from among them because there wasn't yet a pattern before it. In fact, Rashi goes on to say the braisa that we said before about the animal goring every alternate one, then that would only be according to Rav. Shmuel would say, actually, that the third one would still be considered a tam because according to Shmuel, again, we would say that you need a three times pattern to do that. On the other hand, Maosha and a couple of other Achronim say that the same way as we learned before, that Tosva said that Rashi had changed his mind about the third time versus the fourth time. So it comes out that Rashi changed his mind about this as well. So even Rav would agree that you're only paying Nezek Sholem only the fourth time, and Shmuel would say not till the fifth time. Unless Maharsha says maybe there's a difference between alternation as far as days and alternation as far as oxen. Tosfos themselves points out a distinction with that. That if the Tosfos points out if the animal gored three times each on the 15th of the month, everybody would agree that it's mu'ad. And similarly, by Nida, if she has three times in succession on the 15th of the month, sure, that would be a vest for the 15th of the month, because then we would say it's not the interval that makes the difference; it's the day of the month that makes the difference. So therefore, you would have reason to say that. So maybe then Maharsha says, based on that, maybe you would say actually there's also a difference between as far as alternation, as far as the animals, and then therefore you could say that maybe the third time already is enough, according to Rav, to make from now on. It's going to mean that maybe according to both Rav and Shmuel, the third time is enough to make an amort, and therefore you're paying already the fourth time. On the other hand, Maharsha says, maybe not. Maybe Rashi would hold. There's no such distinction, and therefore we would, in fact, say that Rav would say you'd need a fourth time you'd need the first, third, fifth, and seventh animals that it bore, and according to Shmuel, even that wouldn't be enough because the first one doesn't count, and therefore you'd have to count only the third, fifth, and seventh, and only when it comes to the ninth one are you going to be paying? Nezek Sholem? Anyway, so you have so the same machlokas that you have by Nida is you have also over here in connection with the ox. The interesting thing is when it comes to dini mominus, usually the halacha is like Shmuel. When it comes to dini isur v'heter, then usually the halacha is like Rav. So here we have this machlokas which affects both Isser v'Heter as far as the halachas of Nida and it affects Dine Mominus as far as the uh, as far as the uh, as far as the ox goring. So therefore, so the question now becomes, which one takes precedence? Which one do we end up passing like? So as you have a machlokas rishonim about that. The Rosh says that the halacha is like Rav in both cases. On the other hand, most of the rishonim paskin like Shmuel, and therefore, so that's how it would be that both with Nida and with the Shur, you would have to have three intervals in order for it to be considered, three intervals for it to be considered a Mord, and three intervals for her to have a Vest Kavua, meaning in our scenario, only when she has the 15th of Tishrei, 16th of Cheshvan, 17th of Kislev, and the 18th of Tevis, now she has a Vest Kavua, but not before that. On the other hand, like Tosfos says, when it's always on the same day of the month, then we don't need that, then three times is enough to establish that, according to everybody. So the Gemara finishes off. Omar Rava, Shama Kil Shofar V'Nogach. Suppose that the ox heard the sound of a shofar and then it gored. Kil Shofar V'Nogach. And two more times, the same thing. It heard a shofar and then it gored. Nasa Mord L'Shofaris. Now it becomes Mord as far as every time that he was a shofar, it's going to gore. So therefore, any time where you heard the sound of a shofar, and keep in mind, they didn't just use a shofar back then like we do doing Elul and Tishrei. They would use it for other purposes also. They'd use it as an alarm and various other things, like you have the pasuk Yimi Toka Shofar Be'ir Ba'omla Yachradu. So you can have various cases where it's hearing a shofar throughout the year. So now we're saying any time if he was a shofar, and then afterwards it's gored, that gores, then it's Mord for that. So the Gemara says, Pshita, well, isn't that obvious? And the answer is, Ma'u detema, hach shofar kama siyuta ba'almu hu denakde. You could argue, otherwise you would say the first time, it's just the sound of the shofar scared it. So it's not that so maybe that first time shouldn't count towards the three times. So it's Kamash Malan, therefore Rava is telling us that no, that first time does count towards the three times. So therefore, you do have times definitely where three times is enough for it to become a Mord. We're just saying that there are other times when it's not so much the times, it's rather the intervals between the times when, according to Shmuel, at least you need three of those intervals. Okay. Mishnah says, Shur Shur Yisrael Shenogach Shur Shal Hekdesh. If a Shur belonging to a regular Yid, or a Hed, actually, Agos HaBach changes the word Yisrael to Hed Yid, to a regular Yid, so a Shur of a regular person, a gourd, a shur belonging to Hekdesh, or of a shal Hekdesh, shenogach shur shal, a shur shal hedyet, or the other way around, an ox of Hekdesh, gourd, a shur belonging to a regular person. Either way, the person, or Hekdesh, as the case may be, is potter. Shenema, shur re'ehu, because the pasuk says, the shur of his fellow yid, implying, v'lo shur shal Hekdesh, so it doesn't apply to a shur of Hekdesh. Why you'd have these differences of Yisrael in our Mishnah, after all, we have Yisrael at the beginning and Hedyot afterwards, and in fact, you have different Girsois about that, but Rashash explains the word Hedyot would include a Goy, so therefore, the beginning of the Mishnah can't say the word Hedyot. Further on in the Mishnah, it's going to say that if a Yid's Shur gores a Shur belonging to a Goy, then he's Potter, so therefore, the beginning of the Mishnah can't say the word Hedyot. But afterwards can use the word hedyet, because the fact is that if a yid's ox gore, that if a goy's ox gores a yid's ox, then we are mechayev him, as we're going to learn in more detail in the Gemara tomorrow. We learned briefly in the first parak about this din that oxen of Hekdesh is potter. So here we're mentioning more detail, but also actually you have, the truth is we did learn in the first perek that we discussed, does this apply only to Kodshe Kodshim? Does it apply to Kodshim Kalim as well? So therefore, that Ashash actually points out that the two Mishnayos may in fact be arguing on that point. The Mishnah says, because the pasuk says shur re'ehu, implying v'lo shur shel hekdesh, so it doesn't apply to an ox of hekdesh. So hekdesh is potter, and you're potter if your ox damaged an ox or other property of hekdesh. Sure, another din, shur she'Yisrael shenogach l'shur shel knani potter. If a yid's shur injured or killed a shor belonging to a goy, then he's potter. Really, on the side of it here, it says it's supposed to be nochri, knani, was something changed by the censors, but whatever. On the other hand, if a goy's shor, gourd, a shor belonging to Israel, ben tam and mord, mashalom nezek cholim, either way, whether the animal is tam or mord, you're paying nezek cholim, meaning the whole concept of chatzin nezek doesn't apply to that. Now, we're going to learn in the Gemara tomorrow, the reason that we're going to learn in the Gemara tomorrow, Best Hashem, the reason behind that. But one svara that Rambam points out, a svara is that goyish law that at that time at least was not machayev a person for damages that his animal did. So therefore, when one of our animals injures a goy's animal or kills it, we can say, look, according to your own goyish laws, I would be potter. So therefore, I'm entitled to be potter according to your laws. On the other hand, if it's the goy's shor that causes the damage, we're going to tell them, look, in our laws, you're chayev for what your shor did. Therefore, you're going to be chayev under our laws. Now, the fact is that doesn't seem to be very fair. It seems to be kind of discriminatory. We'll talk about in the Gemara tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, the reason behind that. But at least this gives a svara. The fact is that there are two different legal systems, and therefore, in one case, we're going according to one, and the other case, we're going according to the other. So the Gemara starts off. Masnisin deloik Reb Shimon ben Menasya. Our Mishnah is evidently not going like Reb Shimon ben Menasya. D'tanya shor shel hedyot shenogach shor shel hekdesh. So if an ox belonged to a regular yid, gourd, an ox of hektish, or the other way around, potter, then it says in the Mishnah, as the Mishnah had said, it's potter, because it says his fellow man's ox, implying not hektish's ox. However, no, it is true that if an ox of hektish gores an ox of a head, yet then hektish is potter. But on the other hand, Reb Shimon Menasya says, but if it's one belonging to a hedyet and it gored one belonging to hektish, bein tamen mord, mishalom nezek cholim. So Reb Shimon Menasya says, on the contrary, then you, the hedyet, are going to be chayiv to pay nezek cholim regardless to hektish. You're not going to get away with paying. You're not going to get away with paying chatzi nezek. So our Mishnah is saying. So our Mishnah evidently argues that Reb Shimon Menasya, because our Mishnah is saying that you would be potter, and according to Reb Shimon Menasya, on the contrary, you're paying nezek sholim regardless. So the Gemara says, Amri. So they asked in the yeshiva, my kasav Reb Shimon, what exactly does Reb Shimon hold? Now in the Mishnah we said that we're quoting the pasuk shor re'ehu and saying therefore v'lo shor shel hektish. So how is Reb Shimon learning that derasha? I re'ehu davka. If you understand the word re'ehu means it specifically has to be your fellow yid's ox. Afilu shel hedyot shenogach shel hektish lipotter. Then it should be potter even if a regular person's ox gored an ox of hektish. V'i re'ehu lav davka. And if the word re'ehu doesn't specifically mean that you're potter in hektish, then afilu de hektish nami kinogach de hedyot l'chayiv. Then even hektish should be chayiv gored an ox of a hedyot. And yet Reb Shimon Menasya is agreeing that is agreeing with the Tanakhama that hektish is potter. So that the Tanakhama we understand is being consistent. He's saying since it says shor re'ehu and we daushin below shor shel hektish, so therefore we're saying there's no inyan of nezik when it comes to hektish at all, whether hektish is the mazik or whether it's the nizik. But according to Reb Shimon Menasya, is being inconsistent. You're going to answer that Reb Shimon Menasya holds maybe that the word re'ehu does mean specifically re'ehu and not hektish. But you're going to argue the reason why, if a hedyet's ox gores an ox of hektish, you're going to argue the reason to be chayev mishum to come maisul of the kavachomer de hedyet, because he's going to make a kavachomer from the hedyet, and he's going to say that my hedyet shenogach shall hedyet chayev. You're going to say that if a regular yid's ox gores and damages or kills an ox of another yid, then you're being mechayev him. How much more so if it damaged hektish, where we find that hektish has much more stringent dinim as far as me'ila. So he would learn that kind of kavachomer. So and you're going to say therefore he would be mechayev him. Fine, but As we learned earlier in the Masechta, when you're making a kavachomer, you can't make the thing that you're learning by the kavachomer be any stronger than the one you're learning from. So then, in that case, you would say, so the same way as with a hedyot, to a hedyot, you're paying chatzin nezek. The same way a hedyot to hektish, at most, you're going to say he pays chatzin nezek. Why is Rav Shimon Manasseh? You're saying that he's paying nezek shalom. Now, so the Tanakhama, we can understand. The Tanakhama doesn't hold of that kavachoim. The Tanakhama would say it's true that we do find that hektish is more stringent than hediot, but nevertheless, it wouldn't apply over here because then there'd be no reason to say to say re'ehu at all. Number one, there'd be no reason to say re'ehu at all. And number two, you could say, look, that's Xeris HaKosev, that when it comes to hektish is potter, just like we find other cases with hektish where you're potter. We learned earlier in the Masechta, we discussed a point that Rav Shamshon Afal Hirsch brings on it in his Pirush on Chumash. He says, this is one of the strongest proofs that you can bring that the Torah wasn't written by people, because what person, what koyanim or whatever, as has been claimed, wrote the Torah, would make such a din that you're potter for damaging hektish when you always have in any other legal system, you damage property belonging to the state or to the state temple or whatever, then you're chayev even more so. And here the Torah would be patuing you entirely. So therefore, the Tanakhama doesn't agree with Rav Shimon Manasseh's kavachom. But anyway, the point is, even Rav Shimon Manasseh has to hold of dayoy. And even we learned earlier in the Masechta when we discussed about dayoy, we said even Rav Tyrfin holds fine. If the kavachom is not telling us anything at all, once you apply dayoy, then you wouldn't. But if it does, then even Rav Tyrfin agrees that you apply dayoy. Here, without the kavachom, we'd say you're potter from paying hektish. The kavachom tells us that you're paying hektish, so it's enough to say that he's paying chatzin nezek. But where is Rav Shimon Manasseh getting that you should pay nezek sholim? So the Gemara answers, Ela Amar Resh Lakish, no. So Resh Lakish answers is like this. The word Re'ehu does mean Davka Re'ehu, so therefore not Hekish. But Rav Shimon Manasseh figures like this. Hakol Hoyu B'chlal Nezek Sholem. Really, everybody should have been included in the concept of Nezek Sholem. Namely, in other words, by a Mu'ad, the Pasuk never mentioned the word Re'ehu. Only by a tam does it mention the word re'ehu. So by a mu'ad, we would understand that everybody is included. When it comes to a tam, the Torah mentions the concept of re'ehu, that only when it's your fellow yid's ox. So then we say re'ehu hu detam mesharam chatzin nezek. So only by re'ehu, only by a fellow yid, do we say that by a tam the Torah is downgrading it to chatzin nezek. Implying that when it comes to hektish, you don't have that kind of distinction. By hektish, you always say you pay nezek sholim. The im kain, because otherwise, if the Torah didn't want that, then it would have said the word re'ehu in connection with mu'ad, and then you would say, if you wanted to say that the whole concept is to patur him by hektish, like the Tanakhama says, then you would put the word re'ehu by mu'ad, and you would understand if you patur by hektish, even by mu'ad, how much more so by ta. So the fact that it doesn't, the fact that it puts it by tam implies that just the opposite. The Torah is coming to be machmir when it comes to hektish and saying that the whole concept by tam you get away with chatzin nezek is only by re'ehu, not when it comes to hektish, where there you're paying nezek sholim always. That's Rashi's first explanation. Then Rashi brings another explanation from his Rebbe that. We're saying that the Rav Shlokish is coming to tell us, never mind the Kavachomer. Rav Shimon Manasseh is not relying on the Kavachomer at all. He's strictly relying on the Psukim. That Hektish is Potter when it damages a Hedyot is that we're learning from the word Re'ehu. The fact that Hedyot is paying Hektish is not because of the Kavachomer, because then you have the problem of Dayot from before, but only because of the Pasuk. Only because of the position of the word re'ehu in the pasuk.
So if the re'ehu is there, then why is he paying for it?
Because that's the thing. Re'ehu, it says only by tam, implying the exception that you're paying chatzin nezek by a tam applies only to re'ehu. It does not apply to hektish. So therefore, by hektish, you're left with that you're paying nezek sholim.
You get upgraded. You get upgraded.
You're not just not so much you're upgrading, but you're saying since by mord it doesn't say the word re'ehu, then that implies that the that din applies to hekdesh, and the whole concept that you're paying re'ehu, the whole concept that you're paying chatzin nezek to re'ehu only applies when it's re'ehu, does not apply at all to hekdesh.
Okay. It works both ways.
Yeah. So it works. Now the Tanakama obviously doesn't learn that way, but that's how Reb Shimon Manassia learns. Worth mentioning in this connection that the Evan Ezra, when he's discussing this pasuk Shor Re'ehu, he brings from somebody named Ben Zutta, who was apparently a Karoi, who wanted to say that the word Shor Re'ehu, now like this, we're saying the word Shor Re'ehu means his fellow Yid's ox. This Ben Zutta wanted to say that it means his fellow ox. The word Re'ehu means not his fellow man, but his fellow ox, so that the one ox injures his or kills his fellow ox. So the Evan Ezra answers very sharply to that. He says, you know what? An ox has no rea, an ox has no fellow, except for this Ben Zutta. This Ben Zutta, in other words, deserves to be among the oxen. He can be a fellow ox. But other than that, there's no such thing as a fellow ox. There's a fellow human being, and there's a fellow yin.
Wow, ox is ox.
An ox is an ox, right.
Yeah. Okay. It sounds like Abraham.